All right, Madam Chair, take her away.
Okay. Christina, could you read us the roll call? An apology.
Sure. Will do. From the CCNSO, we have Martin Boyle, Becky Burr, Stephen Deerheck, Desiree Milosevic, Bill Semick, Dottie Sparks-LeBlanc. And from liaisons, we have Cheryl Langdon-Orr. From staff support and special advisors, we have Jeff Ackerhuis, Bart Boswinkle, Kim Davies, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcott. Apologies from Keith Davidson, Eberhard Lisse, and Nigel Roberts. And somebody else just joined?
Yeah, it's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Hi. Hello.
We also have Kurt Spain.
All righty. Our first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda, which is up there in the little corner there. Approval of the meeting notes from the last call, and then brief discussion of the fact that we don't have recommendations yet on the revocation piece, discussion about the response to the GAC submission on consent, and any other business, including the IANA implementation discussion and future meetings. Any objections or additions or changes to the agenda? Hearing none, I'm going to take that as approval. Okay, we also have meeting notes up here. Do we have meeting? Yes, right up there on the left-hand side. Bernie, if I try to do this, I'll really screw it up. do we have any comments or additions, changes, exceptions to the meeting notes from the 12th of April? Hearing none, I'm going to deem them approved. We're just flying here. On to the next issue. Bernie, you want to give us an update on the revocation piece?
Well, the update on the revocation piece is that we did not finish it. So probably what we should do is pick up where we left off last time and finish the first reading of the document, even if it doesn't have its recommendations at the end.
Okay.
The new version that was posted, 1.1, tried to incorporate the input from the last meeting, but I don't think we should try going through that. It's just a placeholder, if you will, given that some of the things that were brought up at the last meeting were fairly simple to fix and add in, but they were put in the deadline. So
when was that posted, Benny? When was that posted?
That was posted with Keith's materials for the meeting.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
So that's my proposal to you, Madam Chair.
Okay, I think that sounds like an excellent idea. Shall we do that? And I'm now turning the cursor over to you.
Okay, thank you. Let's make sure we've got the right document. Oops, sorry. Mouse is being temperamental. All right. Oh, come on. There we go. So this is the original version of the document that we were working on. If I remember correctly from the minutes meeting notes, I will pull up. We documented exactly where we stopped. If I will pull up in 1 second. All right. This is now approved. Up until 624. So let us pick up where we left off and go down to 624. And someone's ringing.
Sorry, that's my other phone ringing in the background. And if I could figure out how to turn it off, I would.
Pair of scissors works well.
or just pick up the receiver and slam it down again, Becky.
Okay, I'll just tell my son not to stop calling me.
Well, not permanently, but.
Oh no, there's no worry about that. He probably wants me to take him out to dinner or something.
Okay. All right, 624, we were at definitions. We had started chatting about those with Nigel on our last call. I have chased both him and Becky down to no avail to try and get some new versions of these. We know for a fact that Nigel, I can certainly say, really objects to 6241 and 6242, and he had some great words, but did not manage to get them to me before I could finish this document or since.
Okay, so, well, I'm not going to try to explain away my lack of my incommunicado-ness, other than to say it's been crazy, but we should probably just continue to go through the rest of the definitions and still put those to the side, don't you think?
Yes, that's what I am going to suggest. So we were, I guess that basically takes us to 626, substantial misbehavior, inability or unwillingness by the incumbent manager to correct significant issues with respect to non-DNS requirements, which we know we have to fix the non-DNS things, requirements of RFC 1591 for managers of ccTLDs. Right after that, we've got the IANA contractor should develop and post the procedures for determining if the manager of a ccTLD is substantially misbehaving based on the work of the FOI working group. These procedures should be reviewed and approved by the CCNSO, as they will be responsible for monitoring. So we'll throw it open with that. We know there are some updates to be brought to 6261, and I'm certain that we'll be hearing from Nigel in the next few weeks, but I'll take any additional comments at this point. Okay, 6262. Oh, okay, I see Martin. Martin? And then after that, Bill, I guess. Martin, we're not hearing you, so if you're on mute, you have to unmute. We're still not hearing you.
Martin? Martin is talking to himself. Maybe he's on the Adigo. Is any?
My audio is kaput. Okay, so I don't think we'll hear from you. Are you in a position to dial in? Oh, he's on. He's saying he's on the Adigo. Let's see. Can you dial in?
Yes, he's going to try to dial in. Why don't we go to Bill in the meanwhile?
Bill, over to you.
Okay. Two questions. One of them is, it refers to, can everyone hear me all right? Because I'm hearing an echo.
You're pretty good on this end, Bill.
Okay, fine. I'll ignore the echo. One of the issues for me is that this refers to, you know, material that precedes the section, which we haven't actually all agreed on or even have seen language for.
Yeah, and
so I just want to raise that as a, you know, I want to spell that out clearly in the meeting notes. And then the other issue is I'm concerned about the word inability as being an indicator of substantial misbehavior. I think we need to find a more, you know, willfully misbehavior type of word. Inability could be he had a heart attack and he's still recovering, or she no longer is connected to the Internet because of a tsunami or whatever.
Okay, I'll note that, Bill.
Hi, it's Russell Boyle here.
Hey, hi, Martin. Floor is yours.
I think I've got an even worse echo than Bill did.
We're not hearing it on this end.
Right, okay. What I was intending to say, I realized that I was actually going for section 262, not 6261, so I can put my hand down.
Okay, we're not going to deal with that one again today. Anybody else have comments or questions? Okay, doesn't sound like it, so we'll try to move on. That's okay with you, Madam Chair?
Go, carry on.
All right. So, 627 process for revocation, 6271. The FOI Working Group also believes it is consistent with the intent of RFC 1591 that revocation should be a last resort option for the IANA contractor. The IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to assist the manager to resolve any substantial issues with non-DNS requirements. Yes, we know we have to work on the non-DNS requirement wording of RFC 1591. Revocation should only be considered if the IANA contractor can reasonably demonstrate that the manager is incapable or unwilling to resolve the clearly identified and documented issues in an appropriate way. If the delegation is revoked, the IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names and identify a suitable replacement. 6271. Given it's a big chunk, we'll take them one chunk at a time. Bill.
I'll just repeat my comment about the use of the word incapable.
Noted.
Just for purposes of thinking about this, presumably, you know, prolonged or, you know, permanent inability would not be something that you would object to as a concept in here?
Or yeah, but how do you determine it's permanent? I mean, there needs to be some, I think another kind of word might be more appropriate. I'm not sure. I'm not going to start looking in the dictionary, but I understand what you're saying, Becky. On the other hand, if they're incapable, I think of a revocation almost as a taking. It's like a taking of property in the case of a condemnation procedure. And I think we have to think of it in those kinds of terms where if there's no culpability, then there should be some sort of alternate mechanism of resolving this problem.
Okay, but we'll try to look for another word that conveys significance and importance of getting it right in this circumstance.
Okay, I don't see anyone else with any other comments. I'll just add in along the lines of Becky, although it may be the wrong word, incapable, I think the reality is we're going to have to deal with the situation that if someone cannot fix a major breach, then there are some problems, and there aren't a lot of options for the IANA contractor to resolve these, and we are talking about significant here. So anyways, certainly noted Bill's comments, and we'll try to come up with something, but the reality is I think that if the we should probably address the fact that if the CCTLD operator can't operate the CCTLD, even if he wants to, that's still an issue. I'll leave that one there and move on to 6272. The FOI Working Group believes that it is consistent with RFC 1591 to allow manager the right to appeal a notice of revocation by the IANA contractor to an independent body. So this comes back to some of the elements that were listed in 1591, and certainly something I remember Bill bringing up quite a while ago, and wanted to make sure that when we got to this point that something like that was in there. And I thought that made sense to actually have that in there. So we'll take comments on 6272.
Looks good to me.
Okay. 6273, the IANA contractor should develop and post the procedures necessary for the revocation of the delegation of a CCTLD based on the work of the FOI working group. These procedures should be reviewed and approved by the CCNSO, as it will be responsible for monitoring these. Have to go down a bit here. So, 6273, basically following our standard procedure, we try to walk the line between policy and developing detailed procedures. What we're saying is if we will come up with a framework for helping establish revocation, then IANA should develop the procedures to support these, and the CCNSO should go through those and make sure they're okay, because it's not our job, nor are we probably competent in developing these procedures, because we don't know all the constraints under which IANA has to work, especially with the USG. However, such procedures should be established, and they should be public, and they should be reviewed. So, comments? Where is Nigel when you need him? Okay.
You getting bored, Bernie?
Well, it's just not the same thing, right? I mean, you go to a hockey game, you expect to fight, right? 6.3, Section 3.5, revocation for persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, CCTLD. In cases where there are persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain, the delegation may be revoked and possibly delegated to another designated manager. Okay, so basically we switched gears here and moved off of the previous section of RFC 1591 and moved on to section 3.5, which no longer invokes significant misbehavior, but rather talks about persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain. So really complete other world, or at least we've tried to draw that line in the sand saying, okay, let's look at what Section 3.5 of RFC 1591 means. 6.3.1 is just a restatement of RFC 1591, so I don't think we're going to have a huge argument about that, or I hope not. And 6.3.2, persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain. 6.3.2.1, the technical operations of TLDs has greatly evolved from the time of publication of RFC 1591, along with the use of internet. Although still a specialized field, standard knowledge for networking specialists, and is supported by a large volume of easily accessible documentation applications. In addition to this, as mentioned in the point, there are a number of service providers, in a previous point, sorry, specializing in performing these services under contract for CCTLD. Oh, I see what happened. So this is basically just a preamble to persistent problems, and I see Bill has his hand up. Bill.
Yeah, I believe the previous point has been expunged. So and instead of saying, as mentioned in the previous point, you might just want to say there are a number of.
Yes, thank you. I was making that connection as I was reading it, but yes, you're quite correct. Any other comments? Okay. Next in my preamble, the IANA contractor has not published expectations as far as what constitutes manager doing a satisfactory job of operating DNS service for the domain, CCTLD, or what should be considered to be persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't think I found these. So I think that's a fact. Kim, am I wrong?
Sorry, what was the question again?
6.3.22. The IANA contractor has not published its expectations as far as what constitutes a manager doing a satisfactory job of operating a DNS service for the domain, or what should be considered to be persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain. So as far as I know, there's no official mapping of those parts of RFC 1591 to anything published by IANA.
I think that's correct.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Anybody else? Bill?
Yeah, speaking with recognition of what Eberhard might say at this point, I think there are sufficient adequate RFCs relating to operation of root name servers and relating to DNS management 1091 and 2, I believe. I don't remember what the root server number one is, but I could probably find it quickly, that I, as a starting point, we might want to recommend the RFCs as a the basis for this kind of consideration.
Maybe, but this point, what I'm making right now is that the IANA point of view, we don't have anything published which they can refer to in their own documentation. I'm not saying there isn't anything out there. I'm just making
Well, because the IANA contractor used to be the same person who was IETF editor and so on, RFC editor, there may be some intersection of the material that the IANA contractor is involved with managing, and one might think that these RFCs are the equivalent of postal policy or procedures.
That is certainly possible. But just to be clear, you're not arguing the fact that IANA has not published anything on that.
No, I'm not arguing that at all. What I'm suggesting is that in the mind of John Postel, the RFCs may have been the basis for determining this behavior. And again, I can't read his mind, but considering one hand is writing the RFCs and the other hand is managing the IANA contract, one would think there had to be some cross-pollination, if not actual intersection.
Yes, but just to be clear, we've left significant misbehavior, and we're now in the world of persistent problems of the proper operation of the domain.
I understand completely. The RFCs that I'm talking about relate to the operation of the DNS.
Yes, okay, good. Anybody else on 6322? Okay, 6323. IANA should develop documentation as to what constitutes a manager doing a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain, or what should be considered to be persistent problems to the operation of the domain, and undertake public consultation on this. So basically, I think what Bill is saying is maybe we can add, again, just to frame this, we don't go into making detailed procedures. We certainly, if there is information that we think is relevant, I think it's our role to sort of suggest it to IANA. So we definitely need IANA to come up with procedures. We need these procedures to be vetted somehow. Certainly in the previous point, we said the CCNSO needs to approve them. We would certainly hope that the CCNSO would approve these. I think that sort of creates a very consistent framework with the rest of the work we've done. Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to actually echo the language of the letter we sent to GAC, preferably the replacement language that I proposed, insofar as this might be an appropriate place to refer to relevant RFCs, develop procedures consistent with relevant RFCs, for example. And that would be a very simple way to deal with my concerns. I don't know where Errol would come down on it, and I see that Yap has his hand up as well, and I'd be interested in hearing his opinions.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great suggestion, but let's hear from Yap. Yap, you're up.
A mute button. I want to give some warning about this plan. I mean, for two reasons. A lot of the operational IFCs has been written, I mean, after 1591, and that's one of the things you have to reckon. So I don't know what you can really, in second guess, what was meaning there with later documents. And the other thing is, that's actually more seriously, it's if you are going to point to specific IFCs, you're opening up a new can of worms. There has been in the past, the last 5 years or so, has been numerous attempts to write documents about what is supposed to be a well-maintained domain or not. And all these attempts, as far as I know, have been kind of either stopped because it was getting too complicated, people were getting too much policies, things of quite a lot of different visions upon how you run a name service. And before you know, you're doing, trying to redo discussions which nobody seems to have been finished for the last 5-10 years. So this has, for instance, coming up in DNS Ops, right? You have working group trying to get a minimum set of what an operator should do, which IFCs it should adhere to. RIPE has a couple of times tried to get kind of a bad, advisory document about how to run name service. I haven't seen any consensus reached on more than just it should work. And so, just to watch which path you get into.
Right, thank you, Yap. I've noted that. So basically from Yap, a warning about referring to specific RFCs and unclear what's out there right now. Obviously there will have to be, we'll be coming back to this one and trying to deal with that. Yap, your hand is still up. Do you still want to talk? Not hearing you. I guess you just forgot.
I'll put my hand down.
Oh, thank you, Yap. Okay, so that was our discussion of 6323, and I see a tick from Bill. All right. Let's move on to 6324. And I will bring that up a bit on the screen. The documentation could then be used as a reference point when considering DNS-related issues with the managers of CCTLD. I don't think there's a huge discussion to be had there. Definition of revocation, 6331. As noted in Section 3 of RFC 1591, a new top-level domain is usually created and its management delegated to a designated manager all at once. This is cut and paste from RFC 1591. 6332, this would seem to clearly indicate a separation between the creation and insertion of a CCTLD in the root and the granting of management responsibilities to a designated manager by the IANA contract manager. All right. Let's take comments and questions on this part. Bill.
Well, now, I don't know which way to go on this one, because on a first reading of 6331, it appears to me that if presto change, it happens at once. But the way you've come up with 6332, because it defines them as two separate acts, they must be separable. Becky, what would you say on this?
Well, it seems to me that, well, I could read it either way. It seems to me that they're talking about two things happening, which is creation of domain and delegation. They're two different things, but the fact that they're all at, and so I get you're all at once, but to me that means sort of at the same time as opposed to being the same thing. I mean, I think that would, that's a sort of just a more straightforward reading, but I definitely understand the reasonableness of taking a different approach.
Bill?
I think if we rest the argument on the word usually, the separability of the two actions is clear. So I'll withdraw my earlier observation.
Thank you, sir. Okay. So that would be 6332. As I scribble away furiously. 6333, as such, one should define delegation as the IANA contract manager responsibility for management of CCTLD to a manager, or what we call the designated manager. So, from 6332, what we're saying is one should define delegation as the IANA contract manager conferring the responsibility for management of CCTLD to a manager. Just so we can build up some definitions. Four. Revocation could then be defined as the IANA contract manager rescinding the responsibility for the management of a CCTLD from an incumbent manager. since we're using the evil R word. Oh, I have it from Bill. Well, okay. But we will take comments. Becky, you're the chair. You can just speak whenever you want. You don't need to raise your hand.
Okay. Well, there's something about, I'm sorry, this is my fault for not catching this, but rescinding the responsibility is strikes me as odd. This may be a Bill Semich conversation, too. This is just a grammar thing. Can you rescind? It's going to only rescind, like, the conferring of the responsibility.
Madam Chair, I'll be glad to work with you on the specific wording so that it makes sense from your excellent perspective.
All right, I will endeavor to be more promptly responsive.
So the notes will show the chair has chastised herself.
They don't have to show it quite that clearly.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, but it's okay with me.
Okay.
If it makes you happy.
Moving on, 6335. Let's lower that a bit. Erase it, rather. Because delegation and revocation only deal with conferring and rescinding responsibility, with the caveat that Becky will be working with me and probably Nigel on this wording. I'll throw that in the notes right now. Nigel, as you read the transcript, I'm there for you. Rescinding responsibility for the management of the CCTLD from to a manager. There's no requirement or expectation that the CCTLD be taken out of the route if a delegation is revoked. The prime responsibility of the IANA contract manager to the security and stability of the Internet actually dictates that it undertake all means at its disposal to keep the domain functioning. All right, 6335. Bill, go for it. Oh, Bill, you put down your hand. Okay, does that mean you don't have a comment?
I think it means that I just left his hand up. Now Martin does have his hand up.
All right, Martin.
No, actually, it meant I missed the mute button. Sorry. But, Martin, feel free to go ahead, and I'll sit here and think about it.
Martin?
Hello, are you getting me now?
Yes,
there.
Right. I must admit I'm having great difficulty in understanding what this particular paragraph is trying to get at. I would have expected that you're not going to want to rescind responsibility from a manager without having got a new manager, because otherwise, who is going to be looking after that domain during that interregnum period? And I certainly don't like the idea of IANA then having to take a responsibility for managing a TLD. So what I guess is missing in this particular paragraph is really the concept that came in 6331. As stated in the RFC 1591, that actually you don't want to have created something that then is not actually being operated. And I'm struggling hard to see, sort of how in the current wording you could not actually almost be inviting somebody to say, right, that manager is no longer doing the job, therefore we'll now spend 3 years trying to select a new manager without a manager in place. Thanks.
All right, Martin, I'm just the way I'll go at this, I'm not arguing that point with you. I think the may be badly made, but the point we were trying to make, just for clarity, is that even if there is an action to revoke, there should not be a consideration of taking the domain down or not ensuring that it's working for those people in there. So I don't think we were trying to make the point that IANA has to operate domains. We were just trying to be clear that the option of taking a domain that has registrants in it should really not be part of the equation. All right, Bill.
Yeah, related comment to Martin's, but from a slightly different angle. I would suggest, for clarity, that we get rid of the introductory clause because delegation, yada, 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 and start the sentence that there is no requirement or expectation. And then in the second sentence, we might want to, and again, I don't know if it's a setting policy or it's merely trying to understand the IANA role, we might want to indicate that we are aware that IANA and possibly the manager involved in the revocation process or, you know, using some other mechanism, IANA has the responsibility of assuring the continued operation of the domain prior to the assignment of a new manager. And I don't mean actually operating it itself, but establishing procedures which will, for example, find a contract service provider who has no interest in being a manager, of which there are plenty around these days.
All right, noted. Thank you, Bill. Anybody else have any comments? All right, I don't see anything else. So that would conclude 633. 634. We're getting near the bottom of the barrel here, folks, so hang in there. I know this is just riveting you to your seats with the excitement and the pace we're moving, but...
Tintillating.
Pardon me?
Tintillating.
Yes, tintillating. Okay. Process to revoke a delegation. The FOI working group also believes the intent of RSC 1591 that revocation should be a last resort option for the IANA contractor. The IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to assist the manager to resolve any persistent issues with the operation of the CCTLD. Revocation should only be considered if the IANA contractor can reasonably demonstrate that the manager is incapable or unwilling. Yes, Bill, I note the incapable thing, and I will put it in the notes. To resolve the clearly identified documented issues in an appropriate time frame. If the delegation is revoked, the IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names and identify suitable replacement. And yes, the language and the discussions we had from the previous section should be applied here. So with those caveats, I will take any comments or new comments saying that I have noted the impact of the changes in the previous section will have on this one. Bill.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the sort of general phrase, identify a suitable replacement, and I'd prefer that we refer to any other, our previous document on delegation as being the procedure to be followed.
What document are you, just so I'm clear?
I don't know the document. We're working on different documents, one's on delegation, one's on change in manager, and then there's this one on revocation.
Ah, okay. I get you.
Basically following the working group's recommendations.
Okay.
Rather than just a suitable replacement.
Okay. Thank you. And we've got Stephen.
A quick point of clarification. Are you suggesting here that IANA go ahead and revoke without having somebody to step in?
No.
Okay.
I'm not saying that. I think from the previous section, we've expanded that issue a bit, and it's obvious that we're going to have to spend a little bit more time at it.
That's what I thought, yeah.
What was made clear, well, what I took away from the discussion on the end of the previous section was that if there is a real requirement to revoke, Ayanna should not be the one. Let me back up a bit. All efforts should be made to keep the domain running. B, Ayanna should not be the one operating it, which C means that there should be someone in interim to handle it before it's redelegated. Bill has suggested that there may be a contract operator. I don't know if that's going to make everyone happy or if we're going to, you know, be happy with that, but we've got to go through those words and understanding, write those things down and make sure everyone gets a chance to comment on them and basically arrive to something that when we read it is clear, represents the intention, and avoids confusion. So that's my reply to you, and I hope it hasn't made things more confused.
No, that's good.
Martin. We're not hearing you, Martin, if you're speaking.
Sorry, I unmuted the Adobe rather than my telephone line. Sorry. I've actually got a bit of a problem with the very last part of that that section because what it's actually saying is that Ayanna, the Ayanna function manager rather than Ayanna contractor, will identify a suitable replacement.
I understand your concern, and I understand why you would have that concern given the way it's written. What I will say is two things. It's not meant to be that Ayanna chooses who is the new operator for the domain in this kind of a situation. There are procedures. We've talked about them and how they work. So this is not a shortcut in this situation. And secondly, I think both Bill and Steve have noted that everyone has problems with the way the end part of this is written, so it's got to be fixed. So I think I understand your concern, and I think it's fairly easily, and I agree with it. So we'll be working on that. Is that okay, Martin?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. All right, that was 6341. Moving on. So if you remember the last part of the previous section on significant misbehavior, we're trying to follow the track here. The FOI working group believes that it is consistent with RFC 1591 to allow a manager the right to appeal a notice of revocation by Ayanna contractor to an independent body. Well, that's the same wording as the previous section. Do we have questions here? Okay. 6343, the Ayanna contractor should develop and post the procedures necessary for the revocation of the delegation of ACCTLD based on the work of the FOI working group. These procedures should be reviewed and approved by the CCNSO, as it will be responsible for monitoring these. Questions, comments, 6343. Okay. Oh, Bill agreed. Okay, thank you, Bill. And we're down to our last two statements. Relevant procedures The FOI recommendations on consent and revocation address the issues listed. So you'll remember way back at the beginning of the document, relevant procedures is when we talk about the IANA procedures that are in place, and we raised a few concerns relative to those. And what we're saying is after we finish going through this work, that those issues are now addressed. There are thoughts, comments? Okay. GAC principles. The GAC principles do not directly deal with revocation. I tried to go through this and understand it and, you know, work through it. I think there's some basis for the transfer of a domain, but just the outright revocation of a domain I could not map. And Martin, I know you were intimately involved with that, so if I did not get that right, then I'll be glad to take some guidance on that one relative to wording and how we can present it. Martin, the floor is yours. Don't forget to unmute the phone and not the Adobe room.
Thanks. I think Section 7 of the GAC principles, while they don't specifically refer to revocation, remember, revocation was not actually a term of art in those days.
Yes, I agree.
But it does talk about delegations. It does talk about the requirement for continuing name resolution in 7.2.1. So I don't think you can just sort of say the GAC principles do not directly deal with revocation. That's true because the terminology revocation wasn't used. But certainly there are, I think, a number of guidelines in there that do specifically refer to that. And more fundamentally, there is in 7.1 the principle which applies not just to delegation but also to redelegation, and therefore by extension would be expected to apply to revocation. This is just what's written in the words.
Okay, would it make sense to
I guess we ought to be talking to the GAC about how they would see the GAC principles applying to this particular section.
Yes, I'm certain we'll do that at some point, but may as well take the experience and excellent counsel that we've got by having you here. Would it make more sense to say that what we're developing here is in line and consistent with what's in the GAC principles 2005?
I think so, although I guess we probably need to go and read in cold light of morning the Section 7 of the GAC principles against what we've just written. Certainly, I don't think I heard anything particular that turned around and said, no, it isn't. Although, how people then interpret what is substantial misbehavior might actually vary from where you're actually sitting in the supply chain.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. All right, Madam Chair, that concludes our reading, our first reading of the revocation document. The recommendations, because of the way the document is structured, you'll see sort of the elements of them are certainly present in the previous section, which is why we didn't go into details on them on this first pass, especially given it's such a document. So the next step on this one will be for me to gather up the comments. hopefully get a hold of Nigel and Becky next week, hash out some of the areas where they can be, they can contribute to fixing up my words, and hopefully have a redline version out to everyone so we can do this all again in a few weeks.
All right.
So over to you, ma'am.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the working group response to the GAC submission on the consent document. And as I recall, this was an item that was that we had started to discuss last time. Do we need, and I guess the question is, is there something we need to continue to do in this respect? There's no document here, right? I mean, I think that the bottom line here is that the procedures that were followed were not ideal, and everybody knows that. And I think that's sort of where we've come to in all of the throughout all of this process. Bernie, am I missing some important piece of this?
I believe where we left it off and what it says in the notes. Well, maybe just to bring everyone back into it, I'll just read the notes from the last meeting. Bill, from the transcript, yeah, in the press of time, I believe, and I think relevant staff and the chairman were busy to meetings in Asia. The letter was drafted and sent without, at least without my knowledge, and I suspect without being posted to the working group. And there was a small but important sentence in the annex to the letter which set off a few whistles and bells in my alarm system, and I have proposed changing a couple of the words of that in order to make it consistent with how we've been describing RFC 1591 versus GAC principles in the context of this working group, with the principles serving as a guideline and not as policies. And I think we've been consistent with that as far as I feel uncomfortable suddenly changing that approach. And I would strongly urge that we modify the annex and merely send it as a substitute annex to the GAC with the explanation that in deference of the need to get the letter to them quickly, it hadn't been reviewed by the members of the working group, and assuming that the working group concurs with my proposed changes or something like it, we would include that. And then there was something inaudible. 6-2, apologies from the chair for sending the letter without consulting. 6-3, chair, yes, certainly at a minimum, I would recommend that we read into our records what the wording should have been so that any further dissection of the data later on leaves no question either what we actually really meant. From Bill's email posted to the FOI working group, the response states in Annex A, the FOI working group fully concurs with the GAC that the terminology on the IANA Function Manager website should be aligned and consistent with the proposed guidelines and, more importantly, with RFC 1591 and the GAC principles. So that was a quote from the document we posted. Bill says, for me at least, it is untenable to equate RFC 1591, which is a community accepted policy document with respect to CCTLDs, with the GAC principles, which is a self-described advisory of voluntary guidelines drafted by the GAC with no other community input and which we have never viewed as anything other than an advisory document, albeit an important one. I would propose the alternative language. The FOI working group fully concurs with GAC that the terminology on the IANA Function Manager website could be aligned and consistent with the proposed guidelines, and more importantly with RFC 1591, as well as reflecting the voluntary guidelines put forward in the GAC principles. And this topic will be discussed at the next meeting, which is this. The recommendation was from Keith was that he did not believe we should repost to the GAC because that may bring on a whole bunch of unintended consequences. What he was suggesting was that we make bills. We've noted that the chair has apologized for sending the document that was a breach of protocol. That's in our meeting notes. We've noted the alternate text in the meeting notes. I believe where we are now is we need to understand if it's the will of the working group to send a revised annex to the GAC or not. So that's my summary of the situation, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. And I see Bill has his hand raised.
Yeah, I think even on the last call, or maybe just in conversation with Keith, but I think on the last call I indicated that sending a new annex to the GAC wouldn't see that as a necessary step. In fact, it might confuse things by having two documents floating around that have slightly different language in them. But I do think it would be important that if we have posted any documents that include that letter on the working group's documentation, that we have a modified version, assuming it's acceptable to the working group, that has language similar to, if not the same as, what I'm proposing. And again, I don't see it as a major big deal. It's basically clarifying how we define or perceive RFC 1591 versus the GAC principles guidelines. I'm comfortable with what Keith has recommended here. I think he's put in XYZ rather than ABC because he feels that it's possible the working group may want to have some other kind of alternative language. If so, we should probably wait till more people on the phone call to talk about what the language should say. But I would be comfortable with what the chair recommends on the presumption that we will also include a letter, an annex in our documentation that would be the annex presented to the working group as opposed to the annex sent directly to GAC.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And Keith, happy to finesse with a smaller group, he says. Are you? So it must be Keith is in the airport between flights here. So should we take the final finessing language offline?
It's fine with me.
Okay, and Keith, you've nominated yourself to participate in the finessing, so...
Yeah, Martin has his hand up, ma'am.
Oh, Martin, you have your hand up. Sorry.
Yeah, can I just ask for a point of clarification? I felt a little bit unhappy with what I heard, and therefore I suspect I probably didn't hear it correctly, that... if we have got a document we have sent to the GAC, then if we post something differently, that is a different document, even if only minorly different, in our library as a public document, then I think we've actually got a serious problem because somebody will notice that the document is not actually the same and ask why. So if we're going to post a different document, that different document has actually got to go to the GAC. And we can then talk offline to the GAC representatives on this working group to find out how best to do that. But I would be very concerned if I thought that the documents were out of step.
Well, can I just ask whether we think that... The change is of such magnitude that we couldn't essentially post and note the differences in what's ever posted on our library, and then maybe the question I have, I guess, is whether we whether the GAC needs to go through and review the document again, I guess. But I didn't have the impression that these changes were particularly material. But I could be wrong.
Well, I don't think we even have final wording, and I think Bill has agreed to look at wording with Keith, and it's going to have to come back to the working group anyway. So why don't we let Keith and Bill talk about wording, and if they can agree on something, then when they bring it back to the group, we'll see what we do with it as a suggestion.
Right, and we can make a decision about whether it is, in fact, a material change, in which case I would, you know, I hear you, Martin. Any other comments? Martin, you still have your hand up, but I don't know if that...
I did want to, material or otherwise, if we've actually changed the document, I do think that almost certainly it would be politic to have put a revised document to the GAC saying that we've just made a couple of minor mistakes, minor amendments to it. And I think that actually needs to be borne in mind when we're looking at revising the text, we can't just sort of slip it out because somebody will notice.
Okay, yeah, well, I don't think, I think Bill has his hand up, yes.
Yeah, as I think I said earlier, this isn't a change in the letter itself. It's a modification in the attached annex, which is consistent with the manner in which we've described the two different bases of our working group's foundation, which is the foundation documents, which are the RFC 1591, which we have established as accepted policy, and the GAC guidelines, which are recommendations by governments. Both have their own weight, both have were created in a different context than have been proposed by two different groups, and as the working group's role is to somehow integrate a series of procedures or at least processes that look to these documents, I think it's consistent to keep our description of these documents parallel all along, and that's all I'm suggesting here. It's not a major change. Again, it's the annex. If it turns out that just posting a special note from this particular meeting or the meeting where we decide to make the small modification that I'm proposing, assuming it gets decided, and if it doesn't, of course, the whole issue is moot, then that's fine. I'm not trying to suggest that we rewrite history.
Okay. Well, I think it sounds like we should let Bill and Keith get together and sort of confer on the language and wording and bring this back to the group. Any questions, concerns, comments, anything like that? Hearing none. Okay. Any other business? We have an item held over for the next call, IANA implementation of the recommendations discussion of the process. Bernie, I can't tell if that was from last week or this is what we're going to hold over till the next call.
No, that was held over from the last call, Matt.
Right.
given where we are and that we are missing a few people, we may want to move that over to the next meeting also.
Okay. Then finally, the schedule for further calls, keeping to our regular every 2 weeks thereabouts schedule, a meeting on May 17th at 5 UTC, a meeting on May 24th at 1300 UTC, meeting on June 7th at 2100 UTC, and in Prague at the end of June. So meet with everybody's approval.
Yep.
All righty.
I think Bill has his hand up then.
Sorry. Bill?
Do we have a time for the Prague meeting? Because they're closing the meeting early, I'm leaving on the 28th instead of the 29th.
Hi, Bill. This is Christina. You mean the FOI working group meeting in Prague?
Yeah, the local time.
Yeah, it's going to be 1 p.m. UTC. Oh, sorry, CET.
Local time, basically.
Yeah, local. That's local time for 3 hours.
Okay. I may be on a plane at 2 o'clock. So I have to go back and check. I'm not asking any changes for any changes. I'm just getting information.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's 11 UTC.
Yep.
Right. It's an interesting question about whether this change in the schedule, in the board schedule, essentially puts us in need of sort of reviewing what our traditional schedule is and contemplating whether, you know, Thursday, which is typically a pretty full day of working group meetings, whether we need to sort of evaluate whether the way we've traditionally planned still works. But I guess that's just a general thought.
I think that's a good question, and I guess we'll be looking at that with Bart, Christina, and Gabriella to make sure that it actually still makes sense. But for now, this is the schedule and the time slot we've been given for rooms, and I'm sure, as you all know, getting rooms is always a challenge at these things, and we may not be able to change anything for this meeting, but certainly.
Yeah, now, Keith has a suggestion that apparently the GAC has a day off on Mondays, so maybe we should talk to them and the working group members about moving it to Monday. It sure would be nice to get a good GAC participation.
That may be great. So
one issue there is you're going to step on the tech day if you do that.
Yeah, Eberhardt and company will certainly not be available for that.
Oh, right, of course.
Staff will look at that, and we'll have some notes for everyone for the next meeting regarding that.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Any other business?
Did you just see what Kim Davies wrote? We want to jump on it. We need to jump on it today.
Yeah. I think we have a small enough group here that it's probably going to be difficult to do anything by the end of the day.
I assume that's end of the day. Yeah, I would agree. I think it should stay where it is for now, for this next meeting.
All right.
that it?
I think that is it. So we are adjourned until the 17th.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.